I'd like to turn you now in the scriptures to the Ephesian Epistle, chapter 5. The Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5. And we will read to verse 20 of this chapter. And the Apostle Paul, speaking by inspiration, says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then turn over a few pages to the 1 Thessalonian Epistle, chapter 5, and the portion which we have reached in our study. Our text tonight consisting in five words in verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. And may the Lord bless to us the public reading of Holy Scripture. Amen. Amen. Now, in our ongoing study of the 1 Thessalonian Epistle, we have found the fifth chapter to be full of highly practical exhortations and injunctions, as the Apostle Paul, by divine inspiration, brings this remarkable, though short, letter to a close. And we have, in previous weeks, looked at the commandment to rejoice evermore, and last time at this further command that we pray without ceasing. And so we considered those various types of prayer which are the lot and portion of God's people, whether in a corporate prayer, in the assemblings of the church, the prayer that should be the lot of our families when assembled together, the daily prayer of the saints, and private prayer such as we make in the closet. And yet, if we may call them such formal experiences of prayer, are the limit of our supplications, then we are perhaps not praying constantly and without ceasing, as this text implies. There is to be that still more regular and close communion with God, which means in a moment, in a heartbeat, with a thought, we may know ourselves in contact with the heavens. And thus it was that we looked at the experience of Moses in Exodus 14, of Nehemiah throughout that wonderful book in the Old Testament, who were constantly praying unto God. Prayers perhaps so short, so interjectory, that they are not specifically described, but occur between verses in a sentence in less than a full stop. This ongoing and constant communion with God, which knows him ever nigh and can continually turn unto him. For this prayer and for this style and type of prayer, we should aspire and strive. But also this verse exhorts us to persistence in prayer. We looked at the language of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, the parables which our Lord gave to encourage us to regular and ongoing prayer. For God is not heartless, God is not unjust or selfish, but rather rejoices to answer our supplications, but will on times for our good bear with us, that we should pray the more ardently, the more fervently. And we considered the case of that blind man of Jericho, who in a few verses from that parable is seen to put its principles into practice. We thought too of those things which tend to militate against a constant and ongoing prayer, and how we are to combat them. And that we should delight in prayer as being a provision unique to this life and to our experience upon earth. We pray here below, knowing that above we shall no longer need to approach through this darkened glass, through this access of prayer, for then we shall have that joyful and face-to-face communion with God forevermore. Let us then delight to use without ceasing the access of prayer while we still have time and occasion to avail ourselves of it. Which brings us to the next of these injunctions in our reading. And this commandment of verse 18, that in everything we should give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Now, it cannot have escaped your notice that these three commandments in verses 16, 17, and 18 are very closely allied to one another. And that this latest in the verse 18 is perhaps the natural outcome of the commands in verses 16 and 17. We have spoken of that spiritual joy which is to be the lot and portion of God's people. That state of wellness of soul that can rejoice in the midst of tribulations, that can rejoice with trembling, that can rejoice at all times. Now, if we couple that state of joy to which we are exhorted with this matter of praying continually, then surely the combination of these two things is that we should ever be giving thanks. Because if there is joy within our hearts, and if we are in communion with God, then it should follow that we will give thanks to God for those things which are the source of our joy. Because, my friends, whatsoever causes us this joy upon earth, the health of our souls and that which is imparted to them by God, that which we must do with it, that which we must do about it, the consequence which must follow from it, is to give God thanks for it. For he is the one who has given us reason for rejoicing. He is the one who has given us the access of prayer. Then let us turn these things to a reason and a means for giving thanks unto him. You will notice that these three injunctions are also connected by the constancy or the perpetuity which is associated with them. It is a case of rejoicing evermore, of praying without ceasing, and of giving thanks in everything. Here is another similarity. These things are to be ongoing. They are to be our regular employment. And in this, there is a lesson to us as the Lord's people, because, my friends, a constancy, a continuity of character and behavior is becoming for us as Christians. This is how we should live. If we know something of the immutability of God, if we know something of the constancy of his word, the steadfastness of his promises, then something of that permanence, something of that constancy should also be reflected in our lives and in our attitudes and in our behavior. We know that humanity is subject to constant change. We know that this world is beset by vicissitudes and alteration and deterioration and decay. But if we are the Lord's people, then we are somewhat removed and detached from that now. We know the constancy of God. We know the immutability of his person and his word. We know that eternity and changelessness, which is his nature, which is his habitation. And this should be reflected in our lives also. We cannot escape the changes which come upon us in life. We cannot, during our natural existence, be entirely immune from change and decay, which in all around we see. But we can exercise a constancy in our Christian virtues. We can strive for a permanence and a perpetuity in our Christian behavior. Let us not be those who rejoice only in prosperity. Let us not be those only who pray in desperate need. Let us not be those who only give thanks when we are overwhelmed with benefits. Let us be those who rejoice always, who pray always, who give thanks always. My friends, if there is a season for Christian fruitfulness, then it is an ongoing and permanent season. There is never a time when these virtues can be dispensed with, when these virtues and graces are not required, when these commandments and injunctions do not apply. They are for all times and in all situations and in all conditions of life. And so we have tonight this very particular matter of the giving of thanks. And let us not imagine that the commandment to give thanks is unique to this passage or to this verse. Let me bring to you two other New Testament verses which serve to re-echo and emphasize the command. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, where the apostle says, "The Lord is at hand, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." In everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And another similar exhortation was in our first reading, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. "Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." In everything, give thanks. Now, perhaps we hear the command, we hear this reiterated command in the New Testament, and we say that yes, this is the true word of Scripture, and this is what we are exhorted and instructed to do. But how am I to give thanks? Perhaps at this precise moment in time, I don't know your personal circumstances or your present condition and situation in life, but perhaps at this moment you think, well, why should I give thanks? What have I got to give thanks for? Well, my friends, without going into the particulars of your own life, without going into many of the positive reasons, those additional reasons why thanks might be appropriate, let me just state upon the surface some very immediate reasons why the giving of thanks is appropriate for us all. Indeed, why the giving of thanks is becoming for all humanity, and whilst, although they do not do it and they do not realize it, they should be doing it. My friends, if you cannot think of anything else to give thanks for the fact that you have the ability to give thanks. Rejoice in the fact that you, at this present time, have a cognizance, have consciousness, have understanding, have the power of thought, have the power of speech, whereby you should ever give thanks to anybody for anything. Because this in itself is not to be presumed upon. This indeed is not the lot of everybody who is alive at this present time. How many, my friends, struggle with physical or mental disability? How many want the means of giving thanks, even at a very practical or human level? And yet, in the mercies of God, such is not the condition with any one of us here present. Such is not the case with the great majority of humanity. We have the means. We have the powers of thought and speech. We are in a position to give thanks. And that in itself is a reason to give thanks. For indeed, to go to a still further level, the fact that we are alive at this present time to hear this commandment, to consider these things, the fact that our own existence, our own mortal lives have been perpetuated and continue to this precise instant of time, is a reason to give thanks. Oh, my friends, although we do not see it, the population of this present globe having risen to some 7 billions, the number who are dying in every passing minute is almost beyond our imagination. Were we enabled to see it, could we perceive what is the situation around the world in this present moment? How many are exiting the scene and the stage of this present life? And yet, unto us, unto you and I, unto anyone hearing this word, life has been continued and sustained. God is granting unto us each subsequent breath, and we do, as the Apostle Paul said in Acts, in him we live and move and have our being. Our lives sustained at this present time against all the forces which militate against them, against all the illness and diseases and accidents and misadventure which might foreshorten them, our lives are sustained by God, and this is a reason to give thanks. And my friends, there is still a further reason to give thanks, which behoves us, which behoves the world, to return with gratitude unto God, and it is this, that the existence of this present world is sustained to this time. Quite apart from the individual lives of individual human beings, God, in his mercy, preserve this present sphere of existence unto the present time. And it is only of his sovereignty and of his sustaining power and of his upholding word that it is so. For, my friends, of this the world are willingly ignorant of, that the heavens and the earth, which are now, are by the same word of God kept in store, reserved unto a fire against the day of judgment. There is no reason why this present sinful world continues, why this present fallen creation is sustained, other than the purposes and the goodness of God. The fact that there is still time, that there is still existence, that there is still a day of opportunity and salvation, is a great reason to give thanks unto God. Though, alas, the world perceive it not. But, my friends, to these fundamental reasons which lie upon the very surface, the matter of ability to give thanks and the extension of our lives and the extension of existence, we who come under the sound of this word tonight have still further reason. We have heard the word of God. We have heard the commandment in everything to give thanks. And this is a reason to give thanks. Oh, how many millions there are who do not have the word of God in their own language or their own tongue. How many millions who have never heard so much as one sentence of the scriptures spoken to them. Alas, how many there are in countries where these situations do not obtain, where the scriptures are readily available, and yet they are entirely ignorant of them and resistant to them and in defiance of them and never come under the sound of them by their own willfulness and waywardness. But, my friend, such is not the circumstance with us. Here we are tonight, assembled on the Lord's day in the Lord's house and coming under the sound of the Lord's word. And if you had not thought of any other reason to be thankful unto God, then here is one. That you have heard his word again tonight. That his commandments have come into our ears. The psalmist speaks of the necessity and the reasons for the giving thanks unto God in Psalm 136 when he says this: "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever." Before we even come on to those things which God's grace has done, for those things which he in his goodness has positively added to us and positively blessed us with, let us give thanks for his mercy, that he has not dealt with us as our sins deserve, that he has not caused us to experience the penalty of sin or the outworkings of his wrath, that he has mercifully withheld us from so many dangers and toils and snares. His mercy and the constancy of it is a reason for the giving of thanks before ever we get on to the volumes of his grace and goodness. But, my friend, if you this evening are a child of God, a recipient not only of his common mercy, of that goodness which all humanity experiences, but furthermore, a recipient of his grace, the reasons that we have for thankfulness simply cannot be enumerated or catalogued adequately. Indeed, in seeking for a verse which summarized some of the reasons why the believing child of God has reason for thanks, I could do little better than light upon 1 Peter chapter 2. And there in that section, verse 9 of that chapter, we have this: "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." There, in the very center of that wonderful statement, is this fact that we are to show forth his praises, that we are, if we may use the word synonymously, to give thanks unto God. And here are the reasons. Because if we are part of that number of God's elect this evening, if we by faith and through grace are his people, then this is a description of you, believing friend, part of a chosen generation, made a royal priest unto God, part of a holy nation, a peculiar people. You, by nature, had not obtained mercy, but now, by God and through the work of salvation, you have obtained mercy. You at one time were not consciously a part of that people, but now are constituted a member of the family of the people of God. You have been called out of the darkness of sin, out of the darkness of ignorance, into his marvelous light. Oh, my friends, these are such substantial reasons for the giving of thanks that were you to begin thanking God for any one of them this evening, you would not come to an end of the giving of thanks for all eternity. And above it all, my friends, God has so worked with us, and so transformed us, and so saved us, in order that we should show forth his praises. This is one of the reasons why we were saved. This is one of those good works which God had previously ordained that we should walk in it. This is his will and purpose for us, that we should give thanks, that we should show forth his praises. That section in Ephesians chapter 5 stated it. It compared and contrasted what we were before, the children of wrath, even as others, with such sad traits and vices as uncleanness and covetousness and filthiness and foolish talking and jesting. These things should no longer be a part of our makeup and behavior, but rather the giving of thanks. If those sins are the characteristics of the world, then the giving of thanks is to be one of the characteristics, one of the symptoms of the people of God. It is one of those fruit whereby we are known and identified as the people of God. To return to our text, "In everything give thanks," let me draw your notice to those two other words which we have not yet considered. Indeed, that preposition, "in." In everything give thanks. Now, perhaps you think, well, really, this is going to too fine a level of detail. What can possibly be implied or conveyed by the use of the word "in"? Well, let me remind you that every word of Scripture is given by inspiration, and the preposition which is there in the original Greek is the same as here it translates into English. The giving of thanks in everything, that is to say, in the midst of, in the center of everything, to be giving thanks. You see, the verse does not say after everything, give thanks. It does not tell us to give thanks after the event, or when the outcome has been seen, or when the deliverance has been given, or once the answer to prayer has been received. It says, in the very midst of every circumstance, be giving thanks. Whilst it is still ongoing, while the need is still present, while the battle is still being fought, give thanks then. Give thanks then. You see, my friends, even the world can be thankful after an event. Even the unbeliever can be overcome with a sense of gratitude once they feel themselves delivered, once they feel themselves spared or saved from some accident or misadventure. They say, thank goodness for that. They might speak of thanking their lucky stars. They might, almost in a blasphemous way, say, well, thank God for that, whilst having no belief or faith in God. But my friends, the Christian in their thankfulness is to be different. They are to give thanks in the midst of every circumstance. Because that word, everything, means what it says. Give thanks in everything. You notice too how all-embracing were the words of our reading in Ephesians chapter 5. There is no getting away from it. Giving thanks always for all things. Now, my friends, this is a challenge. This is what makes the difference between a true spiritual giving of thanks and that mere sense of gratitude which possesses even the worldling from time to time. Here is the fundamental difference between the giving of thanks which a Christian is capable of and the alleged giving of thanks of an unbeliever. Because, my friends, our thankfulness is to persist in all circumstances and at all times. We sang something of it in that second hymn, not one that we sing very often, and indeed its words are very challenging. Yes, we can thank God who has made the earth so bright, so full of splendor and of joy, beauty and light. So many glorious things are here, noble and right. We can give thanks for those things. I trust it comes to us almost naturally. But can we give thanks to God that all our joy is touched with pain? When in life we are faced with trials and afflictions and difficulty and disease and illness, can we in those dark providences give thanks to God that these things ensure, as the hymn writer goes on, these things ensure that the pleasures and delights of this present life do not become something of a chain to us? Oh, my friends, if our existence here below were all joy and delight and pleasure and privilege, we might soon lose our appetite for eternity. If we were happy and content in that which was visible and temporal and material, where would be the looking for those things which are invisible yet eternal? And for these reasons we should learn, and it takes grace to learn it, To thank God even for our pains, our difficulties, for those thorns which remain. For God, who knowest how soon our weak heart clings, has given us joys tender and true, yet all with wings, so that we see gleaming on high diviner things. My friends, perhaps you say, well, we attest the truth of this principle, but how are we to learn to give thanks in difficulty, in distress, in affliction? Well, if such is your lot and portion at the present time, my friend, and if you find the giving of thanks difficult, let me encourage you to focus upon two things. Firstly, the sovereignty of God. If we believe that God is sovereign, then we must believe that he is sovereign in everything, because a partial sovereignty is no sovereignty at all. And if God is in control of everything, then he is in control of our sorrows as well as our joys, our afflictions as well as our blessings, in control of the valley of the shadow of death as well as the mountaintop experience of spiritual prosperity. And my friends, if God is in control, though it be in a dark providence, or a difficult passage, or an arduous way, we can thank him for his sovereignty. And we can thank him for something else. Yes, God is sovereign, and we can praise him for that. But perhaps there remains within our minds some thought that, yes, God is sovereign, but then surely he must be vindictive. Surely he must be made my enemy. Surely he must be my opponent, my adversary, if he causes my path to be this way or causes things to be so difficult. But my friends, these things are not possible with God. It is not possible for God to despise his own child. It is not possible for God to be maliciously disposed toward them that are his own. It is a contradiction of his very nature. It is a defiance of his very being. The scriptures tell us that we know that all things, everything, works together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things, the trials, all things, the adversities, all things, the temptations and distresses. And my friends, if everything is in the purposes of God working to our good, then we can in everything give thanks. Perhaps we try and imagine what could be the most difficult circumstance, what could be a situation in which it would be most hard, yea, impossible, to give thanks. And perhaps we imagine, well, perhaps if we had fallen into sin and God was causing us to experience some of the consequences of our sin and we were chastened by God, surely that is hardly the time for thankfulness, is it? Surely if there was any set of circumstances where thanks would be inappropriate, then this is it. The chastening of God and his hand upon us in correction or rebuke. But my friends, what says the apostle in the book of Hebrews? Even that darkest of circumstances, concerning even chastening, he says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. My friends, even in that grievous matter, for no chastening at the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous, even in that we have reason to give thanks, because we are told that nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Indeed, the apostle goes on in the concluding verses of that Hebrew epistle to remind us this: here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. This is our state and condition as God's people, my friends. We are pilgrims and sojourners here below, passing through a vale of tears, dwelling for a season in a world which lieth in wickedness. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, he says, in view of these circumstances and your true spiritual condition, by him, therefore, Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. To do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Oh, my friends, we are pilgrims here below. We are strangers and sojourners. But this sacrifice of praise, this giving of thanks unto his name, should be our constant and ongoing employment, for with such sacrifices God himself is well pleased. Might it then be our united delight and practice also. God grant it. Amen.
Amen.
Our concluding hymn is number 759, which again challenges us to give thanks for that which we might not imagine to give thanks for. 759 in the second verse, glory to thee for all the grace I have not tasted yet. Glory to thee for strength withheld, for want and weakness known, the fear that sends me to thy breast for what is most my own. The hymn 759. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.